Ever try building one of those, you know, flat pack furniture things and you realize halfway through that the instructions are, well, basically gibberish?
Oh, tell me about it. I swear, some of those diagrams look like they were drawn by a toddler with a crayon.
Exactly. And that's kind of what it feels like diving into this English translation of the three-body problem. Fascinating, for sure. But there's this lingering feeling of, what am I missing here? Like, are there pieces of this puzzle that just got lost in translation?
Right, like those extra screws and dowels they always throw in just to mess with you.
Maybe, haha. But seriously, you sent us this incredible Chinese sci-fi novel, and it's got a lot going on, right? Alien civilizations, these mysterious signals from space, an impending invasion, the whole shebang.
It's a wild ride, that's for sure.
It really is. And our mission today is to unpack how some of the translation choices, especially with the names, might change the way we experience the story. Because let's be real, sometimes a name is just a name, but other times.
Other times, it's a window into a whole other culture and way of thinking.
Exactly. And our source pointed out that in Chinese culture, names often hold deeper meanings, sometimes even hinting at a character's destiny or personality.
It's true. It's like the author embedded a secret code within the text itself.
Okay, so for example, we've got Yi Wenji, one of the main characters. Apparently in Chinese, her name means night questioning, which I gotta say sounds way cooler than just plain Jane.
It does, doesn't it?
But it's more than just sounding cool, right? There's a deeper significance there.
Absolutely. In many cultures, names are just labels, but in Chinese literature, they often hold layers of meaning. They give us clues about a character's journey, their internal struggles, even their ultimate fate.
Okay, so night questioning. What's the significance there with Yi Wenji? What's the connection to her story?
Well, if you think about her journey, it's all about questioning. She grapples with the horrors of the Cultural Revolution, a deeply traumatic period in Chinese history, which leads her to question humanity itself.
Right, makes sense.
Ultimately, she's the one who answers Trisolaris' call, the signal from this alien civilization. And it's a decision that stems from her doubts, her disillusionment with her own species.
Wow, that adds a whole new layer to her character. I mean, she's making choices that impact the fate of humanity, and those choices are rooted in her experiences during a very specific, very tumultuous period in Chinese history.
Exactly. And that's where the cultural context becomes so important.
It's like trying to understand a joke from a culture you're not familiar with. You might get the words, but the humor, the underlying meaning, might be lost.
Precisely. And that's what makes translating literature so challenging and so rewarding. You're not just translating words, you're trying to bridge cultural gaps.
It's like you're trying to translate an entire worldview.
In a way, yes.
Which, speaking of worldview, reminds me, our source mentions scar literature and how it relates to the three-body problem. Can you explain what that is for those of us who might not be familiar with that term?
So imagine a society grappling with immense trauma, political upheaval, and the long-lasting scars those events leave on individuals and communities. That's what scar literature explores, the raw, unfiltered experiences of people who live through those times.
And the three-body problem taps into that.
It does. And for a Chinese reader, those references to scar literature, they hit differently.
How so?
They carry the weight of shared history, a collective understanding of the cultural and political landscape that shaped those experiences. It adds a layer of emotional resonance that might be difficult to fully grasp without that background.
So you're saying that even if the translation is technically accurate, an English-speaking reader who hasn't lived through those specific historical events in China might not fully grasp the emotional weight those references carry.
Exactly. It's like reading a story about the American Civil War without understanding the complexities of slavery, states' rights, and the social fabric of the time. The events might make sense on a factual level, but the emotional impact might not be as profound.
It's like the difference between reading a history book and listening to your grandparents tell stories about their childhood.
That's a great analogy.
So how do you even begin to translate that feeling, that shared cultural memory, for an English-speaking audience who might not be as familiar with that specific historical context? That feels like a huge challenge.
It is, and it highlights how translation is more than just finding equivalent words. It's about bridging cultural gaps. A skilled translator will try to find ways to provide that context, perhaps through footnotes or even subtle shifts in language, to give the reader a glimpse into the world that shaped the story. But even then, something will be lost.
Yeah, like those subtle cultural cues that you can't quite put your finger on.
Exactly. It's those unspoken, understood things that make a culture unique.
It's like trying to explain the concept of hygge to someone who's never experienced a Danish winter. You can describe the cozy blankets and candlelight, but the feeling, the essence of it, might remain elusive.
Exactly. And sometimes those untranslatable elements can change the way we interpret a story or a character's motivations.
Which brings us to another character, Yang Dong. Now, her name supposedly means sunshine in winter.
Another beautiful one, isn't it?
Right. Now, that's poetic, but what's the deeper meaning there? Because I'm sensing a theme here, and it's not just about pretty names.
You're right. It's about those subtle cultural nuances again. See, sunshine in winter is beautiful, yes, but it's fleeting. It evokes a sense of hope, but a hope that is fragile and temporary. Like a warm day in February, it's a reminder that winter isn't over yet.
I see where you're going with this. Just like Ye Wenji's night questioning connects to her ultimate betrayal, Yang Dong's name, Sunshine in Winter, seems to hint at a similar sense of disillusionment, or perhaps a tragic fate. Like that glimmer of hope is just an illusion.
Precisely. It's subtle, but it makes you wonder if those connections, so potent in the original language, truly translate with the same impact for English readers.
It's like those moments when you're watching a foreign film with subtitles and you think, I bet that line sounds way more profound in the original language.
Exactly. And it makes you appreciate the complexity of the translator's task. They're not just translating words. They're translating feelings, cultural nuances, entire worldviews.
Right. Okay, so we've got night, questioning, and sunshine in winter. Now, let's talk about a name that needs no translation to understand. Shi Cheng, which literally means strong.
And that's a great example of how cultural differences in storytelling can be reflected in names.
Because, let's be honest, if I met a character in an English novel named Strong, I'd probably roll my eyes.
Haha, right. It's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
Totally. But in Chinese literature, it's not uncommon to see characters with names that directly reflect their core traits.
Exactly. It's a different approach to characterization. In English literature, we often value subtlety, nuance. But in Chinese literature, there's a certain beauty in that directness, that clarity of purpose.
It's like the difference between saying someone is brave and giving them a name that literally means fearless warrior.
Exactly. One is subtle, the other leaves no room for interpretation. And those different approaches can significantly impact how we perceive those characters from the outset.
It's like in one culture, you get a knowing glance, and in another, you get a billboard announcing someone's entire deal.
Exactly. And it just goes to show how these subtle differences in cultural norms can really shape the way a story is told and received.
For sure. Now, speaking of cultural nuances, we've been unpacking these character names, but our source dug up something even more intriguing. Apparently, the author paired each character with these poem excerpts, like in the original Chinese text.
Yeah, it's like bonus content, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Like finding those hidden Easter eggs in video games, except these Easter eggs are ancient Chinese poetry.
Think of them as like whispered insights into each character's core. You get a glimpse into their motivations, their fears, their hopes. You might even say these excerpts act as a kind of literary DNA, giving us a deeper understanding of who these characters really are beneath the surface.
Okay, hold on. Before you blow my mind with more literary metaphors, you got to give us some examples. Lay some of this ancient Chinese wisdom on me.
Okay, fair enough. Let's start with Ye Wenji, the one who kind of kicks off this whole chain of events, right?
Oh, yeah, she's the one who sends out the cosmic flare.
Exactly. Now, her excerpt reads, "Eliminate human tyranny. The world belongs to Trisolaris."
Whoa, okay. Talk about making a statement. It's like she's going all in on Team Trisolaren.
Right. And seeing it written out like that, in such stark terms, it makes her decision to contact Trisolaris feel almost, well, inevitable.
Like it was her destiny all along.
Exactly. This excerpt gives us a glimpse into her mindset, her justification for making such a, let's face it, kind of reckless choice.
Yeah, cosmically reckless, maybe. Okay, so that's one way to make a statement. What about Wang Miao? How does his excerpt compare to Ye Wenji's?
His is really interesting, especially when you consider the contrast with Ye Wenji. His excerpt is, "Weakness and ignorance are not obstacles to survival, but arrogance is."
Okay, now that's deep. And very different from Ye Wenji's whole down with humanity vibe.
Right. Wang Miao represents a more, well, cautious approach to Trisolaris.
Yeah.
He understands that they're dealing with something completely unknown, something potentially very dangerous.
Yeah, it's like he's saying, let's not jump the gun here. Let's try to understand these aliens before we invite them over for tea and biscuit.
Exactly. He's the voice of reason, whereas Yi Wenji is driven by, well, her trauma, her disillusionment with her own species.
Two sides of the same coin, I guess. Or maybe two sides of the same cosmic encounter. Okay, you mentioned Shi Kang earlier. You know, the guy whose name literally means strong? I gotta hear his excerpt. It's gotta be good.
Oh, it's perfect. His excerpt is, anything sufficiently weird must be fishy.
Okay, that is so Shi Kang. He's the ultimate pragmatist. Like, trust your gut. If something feels off, it probably is. Simple, but effective.
Exactly. He's not swayed by grand theories or complex equations. He relies on his instincts, his street smarts, to navigate the chaos.
And that no-nonsense approach ends up being pretty crucial, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a good reminder that sometimes the simplest solutions are the most effective, especially when you're dealing with the unknown.
Right. Don't overthink it. Now, our source highlighted a few other excerpts, and there's one I'm particularly curious about, Shen Yu Fei's. Hers is, stretching out her wings in an attempt of flying up. What's the deal with that one? She's a bit of an enigma, isn't she?
She is. That's an intriguing one, right? I mean, on the surface, it speaks to ambition, a yearning for something more. It makes you think about her motivations, the choices she makes in a world that feels like it's teetering on the edge of collapse.
It's like she's trying to transcend the mess, to find something pure and hopeful in the midst of all the chaos.
Exactly. And it shows how, even in a story about alien invasions and cosmic threats, it's often the human stories, the individual struggles and aspirations that resonate the most.
It's like, yeah, the aliens are scary, but it's the human drama that really keeps you hooked. Okay, before I get too introspective here, we gotta talk about Luo Ji. He's the one who figures out the whole dark forest theory, right? What's his excerpt like?
His is chillingly pragmatic. Survival is the primary need of civilization.
Wow, okay. Talk about bleak. But also kind of accurate when you think about the scale of what they're facing.
Exactly. It cuts to the heart of the book's exploration of cosmic sociology. Liu Ji, who, if you remember, starts off as a somewhat disillusioned sociologist, well, he comes to this stark realization about the universe, that survival, especially against unknown, potentially hostile civilizations, well, it trumps all other considerations.
It's like he's saying, there are no rules out in space, only survival of the fittest.
Exactly. And that realization has profound implications for how humanity chooses to interact with the universe.
Profound and kind of terrifying, if you ask me. Okay, speaking of terrifying, we can't forget about Zhang Beihai, the strategic mastermind. What's his excerpt like?
Oh, his is fascinating. It reads, lurking at the bottom of beaming ocean, great expectation yields a great expedition.
Okay, that sounds pretty epic, like something straight out of ancient Chinese mythology.
It is. It refers to the classic of Mountains and Seas, which is this ancient collection of Chinese mythology and geography. The Beiming Ocean is this vast mythical sea, and at the bottom lurks the Kun, a giant fish that eventually transforms into the Peng, this colossal bird capable of flight across the heavens.
Wow, okay, that's quite the image. So how does this connect to Zhang Beihai? Is he going to sprout wings and fly off into space or something?
Well, not exactly, but just like the Kun transforming into the Peng, Zhang Beihai represents a transformation in human thinking. He's playing a long game, willing to make bold, even ruthless decisions to ensure humanity's survival in the face of this unimaginable threat.
He's thinking generations ahead, planning for a future that most people can't even comprehend.
Exactly. He understands that survival, especially on a cosmic scale, requires sacrifice and a willingness to embrace the unknown.
He's like the ultimate chess master, anticipating moves centuries in advance. Okay, we have to talk about Cheng Jin. She's, well, a complex character, to say the least, and her choices are definitely a point of contention among fans. What's her excerpt like?
Hers is full of irony, which is fitting, considering her role in the story, it reads. How lucky is a girl with the heart of Virgin Mary? If only she knew Trisolaris has no heart.
Oh, wow. Talk about foreshadowing. It's like the author is saying, good luck with that whole idealism thing, Changshin. You're going to need it.
Right. It highlights the potential pitfalls of approaching a ruthless alien civilization with compassion and hope.
Yeah, it's a clash of worldviews that, well, doesn't exactly end well for humanity. Okay, we can't leave out Ding Yi, the brilliant physicist who seems to find comfort in the laws of physics even as the world is falling apart around him. What about his excerpt? What words of wisdom does he get?
His is surprisingly whimsical, especially considering the circumstances. It reads, A, B, C, and D ranked first. Catch water droplets in a spaceship.
Okay, that one sounds a bit cryptic. What's the hidden meaning there?
On the surface, it sounds nonsensical, right? But it speaks to Ding Yi's scientific mind, his ability to find wonder and fascination even in the face of potential annihilation. See, A, B, C, and D could represent the fundamental constants of the universe, the unchanging laws that govern reality. And catching water droplets in a spaceship could be a metaphor for seeking knowledge, those tiny drops of understanding amidst the vastness of space and the uncertainty of their situation.
So it's like he's saying, no matter what happens, even if the aliens invade and humanity is wiped out, the universe will continue to exist, governed by its own laws.
Exactly. There's a strange comfort in that, isn't there? Like, even in the face of chaos, there's still order.
It's like looking up at the stars and realizing that they've seen it all, and they don't judge, they just are.
Beautifully put. And it speaks to Ding Yi's enduring curiosity, his belief in the power of knowledge, even in the face of the unknown.
It's a powerful message, for sure. And it makes you realize how much depth these seemingly simple poem excerpts add to this story.
Right. They're like these little keys that unlock hidden chambers within each character.
It's like they add a whole other dimension to the story. Like, we're not just reading about these characters. We're getting a glimpse into their souls.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder how much of that depth is lost in translation. You know?
Oh, for sure. Like, even with the best translator in the world, there are just some things that don't quite translate, right?
Right. Like, imagine trying to translate the feeling of nostalgia or the concept of saudade to someone who's never experienced it. You can try to explain it, but it's never going to be the same as feeling it, you know?
Totally. It's like, how do you translate the smell of rain on a summer day or the sound of leaves crunching under your feet? Some things just have to be experienced.
Exactly. And those experiences, those sensory details, those unspoken understandings, they all contribute to a culture's unique way of seeing the world, a way of telling stories.
And when we encounter those stories, especially stories from cultures very different from our own, it can be both exhilarating and honestly a little disorienting.
It's like we're forced to confront our own assumptions about the world, about how stories should be told.
It's like that feeling you get when you travel to a new place and experience a different way of life. Like, right. Suddenly you realize that your way of doing things isn't the only way.
Exactly. And it opens your mind to new possibilities, new ways of seeing the world.
It's like looking through a kaleidoscope, and with each turn, you see a different pattern, a different perspective.
I love that analogy. It's so true. And it makes you realize how much we can learn from each other, from different cultures, different ways of seeing the world.
Especially through storytelling. I mean, stories have this incredible power to connect us, to bridge cultural divides, to help us understand each other on a deeper level.
Absolutely. Stories are how we make sense of the world, how we share our experiences, how we pass down our values and beliefs from one generation to the next.
It's like that saying, we are our stories.
Exactly. And when we engage with translated works, we're essentially stepping into someone else's story, someone else's world.
It's a humbling experience, for sure. And it makes you realize how much we take for granted, how much we assume about the world without even realizing it.
Right. It's like, we don't even know what we don't know.
It's like that whole fish doesn't know it's in water thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a story from a completely different culture, to shake us out of our complacency and make us see the world with fresh eyes.
To remind us that there's always more to learn, more to explore, more to understand.
Absolutely. And what better way to do that than through the power of literature?
Well said. Well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into the three-body problem and the fascinating, sometimes mind-boggling world of translation.
It's been a journey.
It really has. And for anyone listening who might be feeling a little overwhelmed by the complexities of translation, the cultural nuances, all the things we've talked about today, just remember this.
Don't be afraid to dive in.
Exactly. Don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from exploring new worlds, new perspectives, new ways of seeing the universe.
Because you never know. You might just discover your new favorite author or genre along the way.
And who knows, you might even discover something new about yourself in the process.
Now that's a thought.
It is. So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep reading.